Good evening, everybody. Thank you so much for coming. We are excited to approach Chag Matan. Zman Matan Torisenu, Chag Shavuos is coming up. So we got to learn a little about Shavuos. This week's Parsha is also the end of Sefer Vayikra. We lay in Bechukosai with the Tokacha. So let's learn a little bit. Try to connect Shavuos to the Parsha. Learn Yisod and Hilchos Tam Torah this evening. Here we go. In the Parsha, the Torah says that part of the Tochacha, Va'avadetem b'goyim, you'll be lost in the nations, v'achlaschem eretz oyveichem. Essentially, you will get lost among the nations and get swallowed up outside of the land of Israel. But there will be those of you who remain. And even what, says the Pasuk Mem, Perek Chavav, v'isvadu es avonam. Those remaining Jews will do tshuva. They will confess their sins, as avon avosam, large discussion, why they need to also confess about the sins of their fathers. But they will confess, b'malam asher malubi v'af asher halchum b'bikeri. Again, more than one way to read these phrases. However, essentially, we are learning about the fact that Klal Yisrael, after they have received punishment, will in fact do tshuva. And then you would have expected the next pasuk to therefore say what? What's Hashem's response to our tshuva? Yeah, everything's great again, right? We just are back. Our relationship has been restored, repaired. However, the next pasuk, Memalef, reads, Af ani eleich imam bikeri. I will also walk with them casually. Not a nice term, somewhat derogatory even. Yeah, but b'mikre means just as a matter of fact, not necessarily a close relationship, but the opposite. Evesios emeritz evayhem. And I will bring them in the lands of their enemies. Meaning, there's some next step which will eventually lead to a humility of the heart. And then their sins will be, quote unquote, fully forgiven. So the question is, like, what in the blazes is this extra step? So the Chizkuni explains very simply. When they did tshuva, they weren't doing tshuva with the full heart. Meaning they did vidui. However, she'enam nichnoim v'chozim. They didn't do 100% tshuva. Their hearts were not fully invested. So therefore, very simple. The response of the bonus shalom is therefore in response to your, you know, less than perfect tshuva, there's a less than perfect relationship. But then again, the Chizkuni reads the pasuk that again, if you then complete the tshuva process, so okay, then I will have full mercy. All right, very nice. So again, there's many mefarshim, different ways to read it, but the Torah in the middle of the Tochacha does speak to Klal Yisrael responding well to the Tochacha and the relationship being repaired. And the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvos, when he presents the mitzvah of tshuva, Mitzvah Ayin Gimel, the Rambam does quote this pasuk. So firstly, the Rambam says there's a mitzvah in the Torah to do vidui when we sin. And the more you do vidui, the better. And then at the end of that description of the mitzvah of tshuva, the Rambam says, well, you might have thought that what? Tshuva is limited to when one brings a korban. Right? You bring a korban, and when you bring the korban, you have to do vidui, you have to confess your sin alongside the bringing of the korban. However, the Rambam says, "Uminayin afis man she'ein mivin." How do we know that one needs to do tshuva throughout all time, whenever they sin? No, that's exactly this pasuk. When the Torah says, "Daber b'nei Yisrael yisvadu," okay, so Hashem tells b'nei Yisrael do tshuva, but maybe that only applies in Eretz Yisrael. "Uminayin af begalus." How do we know tshuva applies even to Fairland, New Jersey, and Tufshin Pei Beis? That's the puzzle in this week's parsha. Talmud Lomer, visvadu es avonam ves avon avosam. Okay, so there it is. So according to the Rambam, the puzzle in this week's parsha is the source for tshuva through the ages. So not only is it not limited to when we bring a korban, it's not limited to the land of Israel. And Daniel says again, Daniel also, another proof that we're getting tshuva outside of Eretz Yisrael. Very nice. So again, we start the shir this evening by pointing out that the mitzvah of tshuva is alluded to, referenced in this week's parsha. And yes, Klal Yisrael, when we receive Yisur and punishment, we need to do tshuva. That is the only way to respond to punishment. And that's the bottom line. Okay, very nice. So the only question is, why are we learning the Tochacha this Shabbos, right? It's a little bit almost ironic to whip out the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvos and learn about the Mitzvah of Tshuva in the month of Iyar of Sivan, right? This is almost usually an Elul topic, a Tishrei topic. But the Gemara Megillah teaches us that Tanya Rabbi Shimon ben Elazar Omer, Ezra Tiket Len Yisrael, Shu Korin Klalos Shebet Torah Kohanim Kodem Atzeres. So Ezra, way back when, established that the laning should mandate that we always lane the Tochacha in Parshas B'chukosai right before Shavuos. And we lane the second Tochacha, namely in Parshas Kisavo, V'Mishamishim Torah, says the Gemara Megillah, Kodem Rosh Hashanah. My time, why do we specifically need to hear rebuke before Shavuos? And again, before Rosh Hashanah, says Abaye or Reish Lakish, very simple. We have a concept that the year should end with its curses. So therefore, why not end the year with curses as a symbolic message that, okay, we're saying the curses now at the end of the year, i.e., when we start the new year, the curses are not going to continue next year. We're done with the year. We're done with the curses of the year. So that only makes sense when we lay in Kisavo, because that's the end of the year. It's not the end of the year, the Shabbos. So says the Gemara, Bish, Lama Shabbat Bish, Toyer, Ika, Kidei, Shetich, Lashan, Vilosea. Why in the blazes are we learning the relating the Tochacha this week? It's not the end of the year this week, end of the school year, but not end of the year. Atu Atzeres Rosh Hashanah. Is Shavuos really Rosh Hashanah? Says the Gemara. In it is Atzeres Nami Rosh Hashanah. The Tanan, the Mishnah teaches us Uba Atzeres Al Peros Ha'ilan. Right, we get judged on Shavuos for the fruit of the trees. So we know that in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, we know that man is judged on Rosh Hashanah in the Aleph Tishrei. But what else is another example of a judgment day, right? On Sukkos, what Buddha get judged on a Pesach? Tvua. Sukkos Mayim. Right, and Shavuos is a time of judgment as well for Peros. So there is judgment in the air, and therefore we are supposed to be shaken a little bit this Shabbos to do tshuva, because after all, the fruit of the trees, whether there's going to be a good crop or not, that is going to be determined apparently on the holiday of Shavuos. Wow. Okay. Very nice. Only thing is, it's not really the Shabbos before Shavuos. Right? We should do this next Shabbos. Right? This Shabbos is B'chukosai. Next Shabbos is Bamidbar. And then only after next Shabbos is there the holiday of Shavuos.
I looked. I think you could have Bamidbar after Shavuos.
No.
No, you can know. It must be B'chukosai, the one before.
But not, yeah. So. Sometimes it can be not so also.
Oh,
okay. But Bamidbar always comes before Shavuos.
You need a break.
So since Tos was Adam's answer, very good. No, Dr. Karp. But to know what Tos was in the second Megillah is very impressive. Excellent, Dr. Karp. Lekach near Elise says Tos was over the Megillah, Laman Aleph, and Abayz, that there is a break. You know why? Because we don't want to be Shalola Hasmich HaKlalos L'Rosh Hashanah. You don't want it to be too close. You don't want there to be klalos right up against Rosh Hashanah. Maybe a little vague, but you know, I guess we can understand intuitively that there's something less than inspiring about having, you know, going into Rosh Hashanah maybe a little bit too depressed, right? You need a little bit of momentum, you know, a little bit of optimism to go into Rosh Hashanah. Maybe that's what Tosfos means, but we don't want the klalos to be the tone going right into Rosh Hashanah. So too, Anu Korim B'Midbar Sinai Kodem Atzeres. Because we don't want the klalos of B'chukosai up against Atzeres Shavuos, up right against it. We need a little bit of space between the two. Okay, so that's nice. A little vague, but something that I think we can relate to, right? Meaning, you yell at a student in the classroom, and then you want them to perform well on the test. It's not going to go so well if you yell at them the day before the test, and then you have a review session the next morning, or you have at least time to settle. You know, you need some time to breathe for optimal performance. Okay, I guess we could understand the Tosfos. However, the Maharsha is not satisfied. The Maharsha does not think that it's coincidence that we are going to be reading Parshas Bamidbar next week. And it's not a coincidence that Nitzavim is read before Rosh Hashanah either. Meaning, okay, so to say that Parshas Bechukosai cannot be right before Shavuos, I understand. But do you mean to say that next week's Parshas Bamidbar being right before Shavuos is merely a coincidence? It's just like a buffer, a lag in time, a time killer? Or is there more to it? So the Maharsha beautifully actually explains the following. The Ramban is the one who made this a little bit more famous. But the Maharsha as well quotes this concept that the Tochacha in this week's Parsha corresponds to the sins of the Bais Rishon. And the Tochacha in Sefer Devarim corresponds to the sins of Bais Sheni. Okay, very nice. So now says the Maharsha, what is the avoda in Parshas Bechukosai to hear the Tochacha of what we needed to hear in Bais Rishon? And what's the significance of Parshas Bamidbar next week? Trying to figure this out. Because if you look closely at Parshas Bechukosai, it says, Zechus Avos are mentioned in this week's Parshas. Zechar says, Bris Yaakov. But you know what? No Zechus Avos are mentioned in Kisavo. So you know why? We only had Zechus Avos by the first Beis HaMikdash. There's a concept that the Zechus Avos was depleted by the time the second Beis HaMikdash was around. And therefore, when Moshe Rabbeinu was giving us Tochacha and Parsha Kisavo, he cannot invoke the merit of the Avos, because by the time of the Bais Sheni, there was no such merit anymore. Wow. And therefore, says the Maharsha, we want the clause of Bais Rishon before Shavuos, Sheyashuvu Yisrael Misparam HaNizgar BeParshas BeMidbar. Parshas BeMidbar lists the numbers, the 600,000, exactly, the census of Klal Yisrael. And the idea is we receive the Tochacha this week, and BeMidbar represents the fact that we want those casualties that we suffered during Bais Rishon restored. We want that number to be a reality again. We want the number of Parshas Bamidbar back in time of for Shavuos.
There is no such merit.
So Avram is in Yaakov, so their mitzvos are going to surpass their own lifetime.
No merit. What do I say every day?
Very good. So okay. So Zechus Avos is a sugya. I think it might be a machlokes whether we have Zechus Avos, if it's eternal or not. But let's assume that the concept of Zechus Avos is no longer in effect to save Klal Yisrael from destruction when we sin. That doesn't mean you...
That's what I said. What does so much merit mean?
Right. So I don't, again, tapping into being in the lineage of Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov might not be the same thing as the Chus Avos. Right. You know, name dropping, I'm coming in as a descendant, you know, as someone who's following Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov. But again, I don't know enough about that concept, whether the Chus Avos has been depleted or if it's eternal. Either way, we have other backups without the Chus Avos. Unfortunately, I did not look into that particular topic. In preparation for this particular shiur, I've seen a few things, but I don't have a good holding on that concept.
The number of generations has passed that the Zechus Avos is supposed to.
So there was a number. So you're saying even if you want to be maybe a little bit more open-minded than this,
how many generations?
Marsha.
It's 500 times.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the number of generations have passed.
I hear it.
That's why it's cut off. Otherwise, why is it depleted?
Right, meaning they...
It's based on the understanding of how long, of how much Yisera, Mida Tova, or Mida Puranas.
I hear that. Yeah, okay. I don't know too much about it.
One question. We talked about the Tochacha and the punishment.
Yeah.
You have Klal Yisrael as a whole, and then you have individuals.
Very good. Yeah, so Robert asking such a strong question. Like, when Hashem exacts punishment, so every individual has their own accounting, and anytime we sin, we deserve an individual punishment. So, but when does Hashem decide to punish us on a global level? Yeah, seemingly it's a lot worse, right? You know, if you look at classic Mefarshi Torah, maybe already in Bukhosha, I didn't do the in Shai Mikra yet, that we assume Klal Yisrael are connected, Klal Yisrael are Zeh Zeh. And if I'm not doing my job as a rabbi to rebuke the Klal, right, so it's not just my sin, meaning everyone to some degree is connected to everyone else's sin, right? So every time an individual sins, it is not completely independent of the community. Meaning if the community is really doing their job, there should be a standard, there should be a mussar, there should be a tone that would prevent individuals from sinning. So it's not always so honest to say, listen, only Reuven sinned. It's not always true. Because if Reuven's rabbi was doing his job, he shouldn't be sinning. You know, or if Reuven's father was doing his job, you know, a little bit of a bold concept. But that'll at least begin to shed light on how, you know, you could understand how individual sins can result into a mass punishment. Because it is the job of the community to maintain the observance of the community. Right? We don't just look the other way in this religion. Right. So that's what they're writing in 7, right? Haniglos, Lashem, and Istaros, Levinena, right? Meaning, yeah, you're right. The things that we don't see, we don't see. We're not held accountable. But, you know, if you see something shady, you know, if you see something, say something. So it's not limited to the NYPD. Yeah.
Also, the second Tochacha is Korban Bayis Sheni. That does not mean Korban Bayis Sheni. It means the Korban and everything. Ooh. Until.
That's right. Bayis Shlishi, right.
Following God, until the following Geula.
That's right.
And what is
that?
That's right.
That's right. So therefore, what you meaning what?
So what the Marsha is saying is,
yeah,
we have to
be by
midbar
to know what we should. That's a very nice question. Dr. Karp is pointing out that Chazal break Sefer B'Midbar up to three parts. And the first part of Sefer B'Midbar is the ideal Klal Yisrael. Right? And therefore, what the Marsha might be alluding to is that if you really want to do tshuva before Shavuos, you read about the Klal Yisrael in their prime being, in their ideal form. It's a very nice idea. Okay, but that's a very nice idea, but he's saying it strictly in terms of the numbers, meaning we want the numbers, and again, he also applies it to Rosh Hashanah, that we want the tshuva of Parshas Nitzavim to be invoked before Rosh Hashanah. But I want to expand the idea of this Marsha. Imagine if you were told this week is supposed to inspire to do tshuva, and the goal is to get to higher numbers of Jews. So what are you, missionaries? All of a sudden, that's not our style. How do we increase our numbers? Tchias amesim, right? Meaning, what does that even mean? Do tshuva, and in hope that we will get back to that original number of 600,000. Meaning we're down in numbers. The stock market, so to speak, is down. So you want to invest in Alvin's company, you know, so the stock market goes skyrocketing. Okay, I get that. But how do you randomly invent more Jews? Whoa. A strong question, in my opinion. So here we go. It's very easy, you're saying. You say, we know where they are. It's not hard. It's not hard to find them, you say.
Yeah.
It's not hard to find them. Like ask Rabbi Yudin. He'll tell you where they are. Well, the Jay feeds them, and Rabbi Yudin tries to teach them to bench, right? Exactly, right. So, very, very good. So, there is a Ramban whereby, in Parshas Bamidbar, the Ramban is so deep in Parshas Bamidbar. He goes through all of the different degalim of all the different shvatim. Every shevet has their thing and their color and their strength. And who goes first? The east, right? Yehuda. Yehuda represents Torah. And who travels second? The southern camp, who's there led by Reuven. And you know what the Ramban writes? Reuven is the Baal Tshuva, right? He did Tshuva for not saving Yosef, right? And that's Reuven's... Oh, for the bet. For the bet. So, moving, right, the Yaakov Avinu's bed, whatever, over there. And then, what happens after Reuven? So I'm saying, if Reuven is second, he's second to Torah. It says in the Ramban, Vishnayim Yisou, Shead Shuva, Hishnia, the Torah. Wow. Says the Ramban, Shuva is second to Torah. Now, again, it happens to be that Rav Huttner Zeches Ad Livracha, and his Maimarim, the Sefer Pachad Yitzchak, on Yom Kippur has a lengthy discussion on this phrase, what it means. I don't remember exactly what Rav Huttner wrote over there. However, it's probably based on that essay that Rav Huttner wrote. But I'm going to argue this evening that when the Mahashah is tasking us to up our numbers, that means the Torah needs to be a little bit more accessible. Because if Torah does not have tshuva following it, if you only have Yehuda traveling first, it seems very elitist. Yehuda is going first and he's the Torah camp. All the Torah people, you guys go first. What about all the regular people? What about all the Reuvens who may have sinned, who may have erred? Again, whether it was with his father's bed, you know, or even, you know, everyone who has their own issues. So the Torah is not for me all of a sudden. But if Reuven is able to follow Yehuda and we understand the message of Bamidbar, namely that there is a place, not only in Klal Yisrael, but there's a place in the Beis Medrash for the Reuvens. There's a place in Klal Yisrael for every type of Shevet. Maybe those Jews will now restore their own numbers, so to speak. And I'm speaking really about the famous machlokas between Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yehoshua, who is permitted entry into the Beis Medrash. Ah, so says the very first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Moshe Kibel Torah Misinai, etc. What was the message of the Anshei Knesset HaGedola? One of the three things they taught was Ha'amidu Talmidim Harbe, have many Talmidim. Now that seems like a pretty innocuous, straightforward teaching. Have many students. However, of the Bartanura, you know what he explains? He says, the chiddush of this Mishnah is that you should have many Talmidim. That means you should teach Torah to everybody. Vein Sarich Livdok Acharav. You don't need to be such a bochen. Is this guy the starkest guy? Is he Ra'ui Lekach? Is he on my Madrega? Is he permitted into my yeshiva? And he's specifically coming to disagree with the Shita of Rebbe Gamliel. Rebbe Gamliel's Shita was only the Talmidim whose midos on the outside reflect their inside. They're consistently good. They're not only faking it on the outside, but they're actually good. Their insides and their outsides match. They're genuine. And says the Bartanura, the very first mission of Pirkei Avos, which we know the minhag is to prepare for Shavuos by learning Pirkei Avos, specifically combats that and says, no, have you Hamidim Tamidim Harbe? Wow. So let's go a little bit into this machlokes. And the only thing is, before we go into that Gemara, the Bartanur himself has a little bit of a caveat. He says, teach Torah to everybody, uvilvad. As long as what? What would you say? As long as what? Teach Torah to everybody, let everyone in the Beis Medrash, as long as what? What would be the qualification? Everyone's permitted entry except for uvilvad. Shelo yia yadua menyano shemaisav mekulkalim visane shumane.
Not an obvious. That can't be an obvious ice bar.
That's right. Meaning he's. Meaning, what's he saying though? That if you should let everyone in, but if you know that there's a particular boy who's what? Particularly bad. Right? And he's deviant. He's rebellious.
And Sane Shemane is his words are hated or despicable.
Right. He hates the teachers or, you know, he's got the worst reputation in town. Wow. Not a simple question. Not a simple question. Halacha lemaisa, right? What would high school do? Should they accept or reject a kid who is the absolute worst kid in the eighth grade? Robert, what do you say?
I guess if he's going to influence other kids.
Says Robert, how can you let a kid into yeshiva? Is he going to take down other kids?
Then again,
Voted the alternative is public school.
Yeah.
So okay, not as simple. People lose a lot of sleep over these questions. People lose a lot of sleep over these questions. So Tana, it should be noted, right, Rabbi Gamliel, when he was removed from his position as Rosh Yeshiva, so you know what happened? Salkuhu l'shomer Pesach. They removed the guard from the Beis Medrash away, Umar Baruch HaShchavches Man Aleph, and they permitted entry for all Tamidim. Because Rabbi Gamliel, again, would say, you can't come in to my Beis Medrash unless you're Toch HaKubar, unless your Toch, your inner, is like your outer. You have to be really good. Mamish, a genuine kid. But you know what? When he was no longer the Rosh Yeshiva and Rabbi Yeshua took over, they added Kama Safsali. They added many, many, many benches to the Beis Medrash. One opinion is 400 benches. One opinion is 700 benches. So many Talmidim were in the Beis Medrash. And what was Rabbi Gamliel's, what was his reaction? He had Chalisha Sadas. He said, oi, look what happened. When I was no longer in charge, all these wonderful things started happening. Chas v'shalom manasi Torah miYisrael. Maybe it was my fault that I prevented the Torah to be studied in the Jewish people. But that night, he was shown a dream, which basically said, you need to be Tocho Kabaro. But the Gemara says that the truth is, he was wrong. The truth is, when he was shown a dream that evening, where in Shemaim they were trying to show him in his dream, don't worry, Rabbi, you were really right. They were just doing it to make him feel better. But in truth, he was wrong. Rabbi Yeshua's approach to let the Talmidim in, that really was the appropriate approach.
Is this similar to the Shammai and Gilead?
100%, right. Meaning Shammai had a more strict standard for Gerim, you're saying. Hillel, very good, very good, very good. I didn't think of that. Very good, Robert. But yeah, similar flavor. That's ironic. Rabbi Gamliel. I don't know. I have to look these things up. I don't know. I don't know. But that would be against this concept. Again, we could go to town with that. But ultimately, we would expect, therefore, based on the conclusion of this Gemara, to paskin like Rabbi Yeshua, right? To say that, listen, you can't be too strict. You have to be open-minded. Let many yeshiva bachrim in, even if they're not perfect. Come on, you gotta open up to whomever is knocking on the door.
Everyone agrees that pedagogically, if you let everybody in, you are going to mediocritize the product.
Oh. So A.B. speaking as an educator, and he said, you can't deny the fact.
You're not going to be the gifted and talented. You're going to bring it down.
Very good.
The question is, what do you gain for society more? To have more people there at a mediocre level?
Very good.
Or do you gain more for Torah if you don't water it down?
Yeah, this is the big Shiloh. So this is not the only, A.B., I like that analysis. A.B. just said, you can't deny the fact that they're going to bring down the level of learning. You just can't deny the fact.
That's also true.
So you're saying what might appear to be bad.
Rabbi Akiva
would have not have been permitted entry. Very good.
But at what cost? You are going to deny many.
But you get Rabbi Akiva. I like this conversation a lot. This is a deep conversation. Gemara and Tainus, Zion and Aleph, gives another side of the story. Two psukim and Tanakh, right? Yafutzu mayana secha chutza. Let your mayanot, your wellsprings of Torah, fountains of Torah go outward, i.e. teach the Torah out there. The Torah also says, yulecha levadcha. So, which one is it? Do you keep the Torah to yourself or do you spread the Torah? It's very simple, says the Gemara. Im tamid hagun hu. If the kid is a good student, then you spread it to him. Im lav, if the student's not worthy, yulecha levadcha. Keep the Torah to yourself. So this is Gemara supports Rabbi Gamliel. That you don't just teach the Torah to everybody. You have to be roi lekach. And guess what? Gemara Maseches Yuma, Ayin Beis Amid Beis, Amar Rava, Kol Talmid Chacham, Shein Tocho Kabaro. If you're a Talmid Chacham and you're not consistent on the inside, you're not genuine, inside your out don't match, Eino Talmid Chacham. You're not really a Talmid Chacham. Which means if you can fake it, right, if you could parrot the Torah, but internally there's an issue there, so that doesn't say too much about the Torah that you appear to know. Because internally, your internal issues kind of undo your Torah. Wow. So seemingly we have to pick up Shita here, right? Are we like Rabbi Gamliel or Rabbi Yeshua? Now, even though Gemara Brachos pretty clearly defended Rabbi Yeshua at the end, but these other Gemaras are all of a sudden giving Rabbi Gamliel another second wave, where you have other sources in Shas which do support being a little exclusive. And the admissions head of TABC can say, I'm so sorry, you're not permitted entry. Wow. So who's going to be the middle sheet? The Rambam. The Rambam knows how to weave different sources together. Not so simple how to learn this Rambam, but let's try. Rambam Hilchos Tamei Torah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Aleph. Right, so geshmak, to learn Hilchos Tamei Torah before Shavuos. That's what life's all about, right? Ein melamdim Torah, ela l'tamid hagun. There it is, black and white, says the Rambam. You can only teach Torah to a Talmud who has Hagun, Na'a b'ma'asav. Who's going to be those? And he has this term, Ola Tam. Most understand that if, at least you're not sure if he's good or bad. Not exactly clear how to understand that term. Aval, Im haya holech b'derech lotova. What if he's not good? What if he's not good? How would you conclude that sentence? If the kid is not good, then what? I would say, then what? Don't teach him. That's what I would have said, right? If he's good, teach the kid. If he's bad, don't teach him. It's not what the Rambam says. What does the Rambam say? If he's not good, machzirun oto lemutav. Help the kid do tshuva. Uman higen oso b'derech ishara. Get the kid back on his feet, right? Ubotkin oso. Do b'dika, meaning what? Give him a midos feher. And then what? The achar kach machnisin nosel the base of midrash. And then what? Then bring him back into the base. So what's that I'm saying? This is the perfect middle sheet, you know? Ideally, the base midrash should be open. But it can't be open to everybody. It just can't. You know, as Rabbi Weintraub said, you can't deny the fact that when you permit entry to all Talmidim, they're going to have a negative effect on other Talmidim. There will be negative consequences. So it doesn't mean the door needs to be completely shut either. There's a concept of saying, listen, let's try again in a few months. Many high schools do this. They say, we don't want to reject you, but you need to do X, Y, and Z to prove that you're really ready to enter this place. Like, are you actually going to change your own reputation? Why should we let you in? We would love to let you in. Can you help us let you in? But do you see the tone of the Rambam? I don't think the Rambam is paskening like Rabbi Gamliel to the nth degree. That's not really what he's saying. Again, classically, he's paskening like Rabbi Gamliel because he's saying you can't teach Torah to a Talmud that's Ana Huggins, what he says. But he also says don't close the door, right? Wait until the kid does better. In fact, he actually tells you to help the kid become better. And that's how the Shulchan Aruch passing is like the Rambam. That you don't teach Torah to a Talmud who's Eino Hagun, but you help the kid do tshuva. So in my humble opinion, this is what the Maharsha means. This week's Parsha, we're going to hear the Tochacha. And what's the goal? To restore the numbers of Sefer Bamidbar. How do you restore those numbers? By trying to go to more and more types of Jews. And saying to them, listen, you're a Shevet God. You're from Shevet Shimon. You might not be known 100% for your strength in Talmud Torah. I don't know. But can I teach you that there's a place for you in the Beis Medrash? Can I teach you that there is more flexibility? There are more benches. There are more rows in the Beis Medrash than you may have thought. And maybe, b'derech drush, that's what the Maharsha means. And it's our job as a community, again, to not open the Beis Medrash to everybody, but in the same way that in Matan Torah, there are people who had front row seats, there are people who were trying to hide in the back somewhere because they couldn't handle the volume and the intensity of the Aseres Dibros. So I think there's a big place for the Balabas who's sitting in the back row during the rabbi's all-night shiur on Shavuos night and is really in it for the cheesecake or just to kind of be part of the experience, even if he doesn't really understand the shiur. In yeshiva, I always try to tell guys that there's a mile of getting 75% of a shear. There's a big difference between getting 0 and 50. There's a big difference between getting 50 and 60. Getting a 75% of a shear is not nothing. So let's try to increase those numbers of Parshas Bamidbar and teach more and more Jews that there is a place for them in the Beis Medrash. Bezos Hashem, the Shibus. All right, let's down.